Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome, welcome. It's a sassy Friday here on the Damon Bruce Show. It's wonderful to have you. Did I say Damon Bruce Show? I meant 25 minutes. I thought it was going to be a 24-minute program, but Bouton Vixen has just informed me that we have much more work to do. We will be going to the 25th minute of this hour.
Got to get paid.
Wow. I only prepared to do 24 minutes. I don't know if I can get an extra 60 in there. Bear with us. We will try to get through this show together. Welcome. It is great to have you here. It is a Friday. It's a gorgeous day outside. I really hope it's a gorgeous weekend, too, because it's a fun weekend. It's Derby weekend. A lot of Derby parties. Tomorrow is Cinco de Mayo as well. I mean, two reasons to go out there and get your drink-a-link on. Have yourselves a really good time. Make good choices. Good choices, my friends. There's always, always, always a good reason to make good choices. Do it for yourself. Do it for your bank account. Do it to protect other people. Make good choices. It's a drinking holiday in the United States tomorrow. Mint juleps and tequila. What a combination.
I'm in.
Woo! Pulled pork and tamales. Mm. I am in. I love it. I love a little Kentucky Derby. I love a little Cinco de Mayo. Let you know that we got an awful lot coming up just today. The party starts early. First of all, Gianna, we get happy hour. We're going over to Grumpy's. We're going to start pounding onion rings and beers together, okay?
Okay. Start the weekend right.
Sassy Friday. 5 o'clock tonight. Of course, our coverage of Warriors basketball begins at 3:30 this afternoon. We got Warriors warm-up coming up with Townie, Steiny, and Guru. That's at 3:30 today. If you need Gianna and I at 3:35, we'll be at Grumpy's, again, pounding beers and onion rings. At 5 o'clock tonight, you get
first name Stephen, last name Curry. He came into my life, now everything is less blurry. Oh, Steph, Curry, Steph, Curry, Curry, Steph.
And then at 7 o'clock tonight, you get
done scoring.
There you go. That's a pretty good night.
It's a great night.
That's a fun Friday night right there. You got playoff games. You got two game threes. You got two game threes on the road. You got two game threes in road cities, which are officially fun cities to go to. Hopefully both these teams didn't test curfew last night, shall we say? PenskeAutoSales.com text line says, hey, Damon, you should just play Express Yourself to fill that extra minute.
Okay.
Story from when I was with, did I say game five? Did I say game three? You know, it's Sharks game five. It just feels like a game three. You know what I mean? I love it. I love it. My first ever halftime at Indiana, I didn't know what to do with like the 9 minute whole halftime. So I read one scoreboard and then played Express Yourself by NWA twice.
Did you really?
I didn't know what to do. I was new at this.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I just went ahead and did that. Damon, I think a horse named Justify is going to win the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, favorite.
Justify is absolutely up there. I'm going to tell you right now, I talked to a buddy of mine who loves betting on them ponies. What is the real goal of today's show? Getting you ready for Warriors basketball. Getting you ready for a little Sharks hockey later tonight.
That's fine.
And getting you ready for the Kentucky Derby. Post time tomorrow for the Kentucky Derby is 3:46. You will be asked by someone who cares about you. You will be asked, what time's the Kentucky Derby? 3:46, post time. Kentucky Derby runs tomorrow at 3:46. You go ahead and call 3:45. That's easier to remember.
But coverage start. I mean, it's a whole all-day thing. When the actual race is.
Oh, Bob Costas is at Churchill Downs right now telling you about silks worn by jockeys past.
Yeah.
I mean, like, come on. Bolt Dioro, my boy Jack Noble Indy. See, you're going to have me. You're going to pull me one long odds horse. Don't give me just chalk. I'm not interested in chalk talking. I want a distant pony coming in and making a little money.
Mm-hmm.
So Bolt is ridden by Victor Espinoza. He's going off at 8-1. Espinoza's won the Derby three times.
Nice.
My Boy Jack is ridden by Kent DeSormo. Kent DeSormo was my grandmother's favorite jockey. Never sleep on Kent DeSormo. Maybe my grandmother slept with Kent DeSormo. I don't know why she liked him so much. But he is riding My Boy Jack 30-1. There's your big odds. Just so this is a payday. Noble Indy. He won the Louisiana Derby. But it's a horse that a lot of people think would win this race, but he's starting from gate 19. That's pretty much no man's land.
Right.
That means you got to swing all the way back to the gate, all the way back to the post to be on the lead. That's a tough breaking point for a horse. So I don't think we're going to see any winner coming from gate 19. Good luck to you, Noble Indy. But there you go. That's what My Boy had. Bolt DiOrio, My Boy Jack, and Noble Indy. What time's the Kentucky Derby tomorrow, Gianna?
3:45.
3:45 if you want to be there early. Post time is 3:46.
I love the names for all of these horses.
I would love to name horses. I really would. I love people who name horses. I like people who name horses. I like the way that they name dogs at dog shows.
Yeah.
Like, you never see, like, what's this dog's name? Well, that's Mike.
No, that never happens. It's like, this dog's name is right. Take Me Home, Honey.
No, this dog is like Royal Lineage. That, yeah. John Stockton IV, Fancy Pants, Utah Jazz.
Pedigree. But for horses, you can be super creative. Just fun.
Oh, yeah.
Falcon's Flyer.
When the show is over, I will tell you what a caller called in to name a horse and then explained why. And we cannot do it on the air.
Oh, we can't share
it out there. Yeah,
now I'm excited.
I had to dump that one time.
Oh.
Anyways, we got an awful lot coming up, which is a total lie. The show is over in about 15 minutes. Giants are at the Braves for a weekend on the East Coast. They are taking on the upstart Atlanta Braves. Really one of the biggest surprises in all of baseball. They're 19-11 on the air. Giants are a game over 500 at 16-5. Chris Stratton later tonight. He is 2-2 with a 3.09 ERA. Daniel Mengden opens up this homestand for the A's. They've got the Orioles and Andrew Cashner on the mound tonight. By the way, Manaea was shaky in a 4-1 loss to the Mariners last night, but the A's do come back 4-5 on a 9-game roadie. So that's not bad, right? It could be better. I've seen worse. So there you go. Damon, you'd have to name your horse Dancing Donskoy. Oh, there's no doubt about it. That would have to be some sort of tribute. Hey, you can have tributes when you're naming horses.
Hey, Sharks fans, learn to dance like me. Get a Donskoy bubble waist ticket back when we face the Avalanche on April 5th and take home a Dancing Donskoy.
Sold. I'd like to take home too. You call your people down in San Jose. You make plans to go see the Sharks.
I am working on that.
You're working on
like
that?
It looks good.
So here's the deal. If you have an extra seat open next to you, let me know, because my wife is flying to LA on Sunday morning. She's got business there on Monday, so she's flying out on Sunday. I'm free all Sunday.
Okay. I like it.
If you need a hockey date, you let me know, Gianna.
Road trip.
I will be there. Yeah, let's road trip. You bring the Mazzetti's cookies, I'll drive.
Okay.
Done. Curry is back in the starting lineup tonight. That is no surprise to anybody. What might be a surprise is what the Warriors are expecting down in Game 3. The Warriors pretty much called it in Game 2. They knew that they were going to get a rough one. They expect another rough one tonight. And not that they are telling you, not that they are saying that the fatwa has been called in by the league office, but they're bracing for more whistles blown in their direction in this game than they saw in the first two.
We're going to get some fouls called on us early, for sure. Got to be ready for that. You got to just play through anything like that. Play with poise.
You know, and look, Steve didn't say anything to rile up doubt of the fairness of this game, but what does it say about the NBA when you can just say, oh, we know for a fact that we're going to have a lot of early fouls called against us? By the way, I'm sure the Warriors knew that for a fact. NBA Finals last year, Game 4, when the Cavaliers went to the line like 30 times before the Warriors shot two free throws. You know, they know. They've been in this experience before, and the NBA cannot be happy with the way that these series are just getting knocked down one after another. There might be a competitive game or two here, but we're not getting the competitive series that we really want. Sure, LeBron and company survived the Pacers. Now they go to Toronto, and they completely own the Raptors again. LeBronto is phenomenal. I don't know who came up with LeBronto, but that producer, whoever was the first to say out loud on planet Earth, LeBronto, deserves $5.
It's very good.
Give that person an extra five. A Finsky. That is seriously, that's hysterical. LeBronto. He was awesome last night, by the way. 43-14. He only had one turnover. Gush.
Jeez.
That's pretty good. Let's talk a little bit more about those Warriors. Steve Kerr, he said fouls, yes. When it comes to tempo, when it comes to energy, he expects the Pelicans to have an awful lot of that too.
I think the biggest thing for us, we've got to come in understanding the frenzy that we're going to face with this crowd. New Orleans had 39 fast break points on our home floor in game two. So they're coming after us. We've got to be ready for that force. It's the way they play anyway, but especially being down 2-0 and coming back to their fans, it's going to feel like a hurricane in here. So we've got to be ready to really take that force and that type of energy and pace and be able to, you know, to combat that.
Steve Kerr obviously talking at Pelicans practice today, or excuse me, Warriors shoot-around with the Pelicans today. So, of course, everything that happens with the Warriors right now, there's a question about Draymond Green and Charles Barkley in there. It's fine. You know, I'd rather have Draymond Green beefing with someone who's not playing in this game than someone who is playing in this game, because all the guys that are playing in this game are going to do everything they can to get under Draymond Green's skin tonight. We saw it happen in game two. They sent three different waves of disruption at Draymond Green. They really did. You saw it. Anthony Davis and him getting all leg locked and rolling around together. You saw Rondo standing right in his chest as they're going to halftime. Rondo tried to plant a seed in Draymond that grew, and anger grew at halftime. Remember, Rondo did that to Dre right before halftime. They were trying to walk off the court. The two of them were getting in each other's chests. And that's where, you know, the highlight that led to Charles Barkley saying, I want to punch that guy. Rondo tried to plant the seed of anger in Draymond that was supposed to grow throughout halftime, germinate in the third quarter, and then blossom with a fourth quarter ejection. Never happened.
Mm-mm.
Never happened. Draymond kept himself in the moment. We have not always seen that. It's a very good thing. He keeps himself in the moment tonight. He does not get over his skis. He doesn't start playing with too much emotion. Warriors win this game. This thing is not coming back to Oracle for a game five. It could be over in four. It really could be.
That was a very focused, mature Draymond.
Yeah. Focused, mature Draymond with every bit of fire-breathing dragon that you would still want when the game was happening. But in the walk-away moments, no real live action is at play. The clock's not ticking. People are walking back to huddles. This is where you get your technical foul. Think about, where does Draymond pick up his techs? In the flow of the game or walking back to the bench or around the free throw line? That's when he always gets himself in trouble. That's when he says the thing or does the thing that the referee determines over the line. He didn't go over the line. He can't go over the line. How about this? Draymond doesn't go over the line in game three tonight. Warriors stay focused. It is going to take such a Herculean effort by Anthony Davis to beat you that I don't even think it can happen. So let's see it. Steph Curry, he was cool with coming off the bench in game one. Or excuse me, he knows he didn't play in game. So I was watching NBA TV today. And I was watching, it was Warriors-Pelicans replay,
yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and it's about that, about 7 minutes into the first quarter. I'm like, ooh, I got to watch this. I want to see when Curry checks in again. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. He's not checking in. We're at the three-minute mark. I'm like, what is going on? Then I go over, and I don't realize, I'm like, oh, this is game one. this is game one. He's not going to check into this game. Steph talked about checking into game one. He says he could have played, but he would not have been the Curry that you saw in game two.
No, I could have played probably, but not at the level that, let's just put it this way, the 3 days that I had between game one and game two, I'd noticed a significant difference in how my body felt. It was a wise decision, I think, obviously, how we played in game one, but just for my own health-wise, I think it definitely paid off to be patient with it. If it was up to me, I probably wouldn't have been able to answer that question because I probably would have played and it would have been a dumb decision, but handled it well.
There you go. Sometimes you got to protect the player from themselves, right? Curry, he was cool coming off that bench. That's what makes Curry one of the most unique leaders in all sports. He is willing to sacrifice his own ego, whatever is best for the team. A lot of guys will say that at the press conference, I'm willing to do what's ever best for the team. But if it includes bruising your ego just a little, oh, forget it. That's where, no, I'm not willing to do that.
As much confidence as I have in myself to be able to transition back, you know, pretty quickly. You haven't played in 6 weeks, you really don't know. Especially getting into playoff intensity type of basketball. So to kind of keep the flow that we've had, starting unit, obviously game one and how they played in game one. But the entire playoff run so far in the last 10 games, just kind of keep that going. Whatever I could give would be able to kind of supplement that off the bench and be able to manage my minutes a little bit better so I could play at the right times as opposed to killing rotation with me playing short bursts, coming in, coming out type of vibe. So I had experience with that 2 years ago. It worked, and that experiment is over.
Question, the only real question I have tonight. Does Nick Young play? Like, Nick Young went from starting to now that Curry's starting again. I wonder if he even hits the play, if he even hits the court. Nick Young, how long will he be out there? What will he be asked to do? I mean, the fact that Patrick McCaw's not back out there means, of course, you'll probably see him. But what if he gets DNP'd like Zaza's been DNP'd? And at any point in time, is Zaza going to rear his head in this series? It's a couple of other things to keep an eye on while you're watching tonight. Of course, there will be talk about Durant. There will be talk about Draymond versus Charles Barkley. First of all, Steph Curry was not happy with the apology.
I wish when I was growing up that if my mama said something to me like I was in the wrong or something, she wanted me to apologize and say something about something I did wrong, and I said I'm sorry, but I still meant it. I would have got slapped in the face. So it's just all Draymond handled it amazingly. I don't think it's gonna let him affect what happens on the floor, but when it comes to people with microphones and on screen or whatever, you can't take that stuff too seriously because most of it is just for show.
Hey, enough about people with microphones, Steph. I don't want to hear any more about that. You want to go after people on the screens? Fine. People on a screen might have stole your jacket. People with a microphone? Nah, we're good people. Draymond and Charles Barkley.
You old and it is what it is.
Kevin Durant.
He said what he said. He felt that way. But, Barkley ain't punching nobody like Draymond said. I don't think he did that back in the day either. So I don't know why he's so angry all the time about at the new generation of basketball. But I guess that's what it is. No, I thought he was serious. Yeah. I don't know why, but I thought he was serious about it. But that's in the past. And like Draymond said, he's not going to touch nobody. I mean, we rarely see Charles Barkley anyway. He's going to stay in the studio and look at games on TV. We're going to go out here and just play the game that we love. He had his time already. So I'm sure there's plenty of guys back in his day he had opportunity to punch and he didn't. So we can move on from that.
Wow. Okay. I'm telling you, you just do not want to be on the wrong side of the Golden State Warriors right now. They are coming for you. They'll come for your reputation. They will come for your throat. They'll come for your job. They are just not having it. I love it. I love a frosty, angry, mad at the world Golden State Warrior team. That's what I've wanted this whole time. I don't care what it has to do. I don't care who's got to get pit. I don't care who's got to get punched or who's got to get talked about being punched to get this team ready to go in frosty. I love it. By the way, Steve Kerr, put a final point on this whole thing.
It's a hard position to be in. It's easy to say something that you immediately regret. I think one time I said I wanted to punch Marv Albert in the face. Immediately regretted it. He ignored me for the next few minutes on the telecast. And at halftime, we made amends and we were fine in the second half.
Yowls! Punch me in the face! Yowls! 4-3. So, I think they just want this. Steve Kerr obviously would like to see this whole thing wrapped on up, and it probably will be after tonight. America's attention span was not going to pull this into Monday at the very least, right? No, I just don't think that that's possible.
Something else will happen.
Just wipe your hands and walk away, unless, of course, Chuck says something dumb, which could totally happen again tonight. I mean, even his apology left a little to be desired for sure. But Kevin Durant just saying, you know, I don't know why Charles and that generation keeps on attacking our generation. Oh, I know why. It's jealousy. Charles Barkley is a very jealous former player. He is jealous of the Golden State Warriors. He is desirous of their success, their trophy case, the rings that they wear on their fingers, the money that they put in their bank account. I'm just going to tell you that Charles Barkley, he made a lot of money in his life. He also lost a lot of money in his life on Vegas tables. And is he really working because he loves the limelight, or is he working because he needs the money? I mean, like some of these, I'm going to tell you right now, Gianna, if I made an NBA-level lump sum of money and managed it well my entire life, it's going to be no second career.
I mean, at some point, you're going to be on the beach enjoying it, right?
Well, if something else happens, now that I'm a radio guy, I'm probably going to have to die on the air one day. But if I had been an NBA player who made NBA money and then had been making millions on TV for a handful of years, like, I'm just telling you that when my time to take a bow and exit stage left comes, I will feel it, I will acknowledge it, I will salute it, and there will be no looking back.
So maybe he does need the money. Maybe there's more to it for Barkley.
I've heard the gambling debts are insane.
That'll get you.
I guess so. By the way, you know, maybe I'll get old and cantankerous. Older and more cantankerous, I guess I should say. Maybe that'll happen and you have to drag me out of here. Or maybe I'll do a two-year-long about-to-retire show, retire for 4 months, and then come back and replace whoever they hired to replace the Damon Bruce show, just like Mike Francesa did in New York City.
Exactly. Well, maybe there's things, too, that Barkley wished he would have done. I mean, can you imagine? I'm sure every person would love to have an experience of what it's like to be on the Golden State Warriors, especially a basketball player.
You've got to be jealous.
Of course.
You've got to be jealous. And seriously, can Charles Barkley go anywhere where a champion lives, where it's not just you never won one, ring jokes all the time? Like, Chuck's human, too. I think he's jealous as hell.
Yeah.
I think he's jealous as hell. And by the way, like I would say this too, someone who is this frosty about this team all the time, like, I'm sorry, your slip is showing. You know, like, I can see it. Your self-confidence is actually dangling out from under your skirt there. I can see it. There's jealousy. No doubt. LeBronto. I just wanted to say it one more time. LeBronto. That's just great. That's great. You see, Kevin Love, by the way, had 31-11.
Yeah.
I mean, don't just get wrapped up in LeBron's 43-14. Kevin Love, 31-11. That is pretty interesting. And the NBA issuing Drake a warning over bad language is the biggest, like, you gotta be kidding me story I have ever seen. Like, you go ahead and you tell that guy. You go ahead and you tell the 5'6" rapper who is definitely not 140 pounds dripping wet that Kendrick Perkins would like to see him in a room with no cameras and very little light.
Have fun with that.
I bet you Drake would like to talk things out real quickly when he's not surrounded by bodyguards who are the size of, like, hi, have you met my bodyguards? They're all Mike McGlinchey, all of them. Every single one of them, 6'8", 300. By the way, I will say this about Drake. I've seen a lot of celebrity courtside in the NBA. While we're all ripping Drake, while we're all saying what he isn't, while we're all making fun of his team being in an 0-2 hole, I feel like, I don't even know why I feel like this, but I will defend the guy just a little bit. I have never seen a courtside celebrity more gracious with his time, signing autographs, kissing cheeks, shaking hands, kissing babies, than that guy.
He's good to his fans.
He really is. I've seen it time and time again. Someone's like, Drake is like 6'3". Is he really?
Is he?
Drake is 6'3". I never noticed.
He did go to a red carpet event with Roz, and she's kind of tall. So
right, but you know what? Whenever I see Drake, he's flanked by bodyguards who literally could play in the NBA. They're so big. They could play in the NFL. Drake's bodyguards are... They look like they could do some serious damage in a bar fight. Anyways, that's all the time we have. What did we learn today? Well, we learned that we've got this coming up in just a minute.
First name Stephen, last name...
7 o'clock tonight, it's this.
That's right.
Kentucky Derby, 3:46 post time tomorrow. And I've told you pretty much everything you need to know. Enjoy a little Warriors warm-up. Townie, Steiny, and Guru coming up. This is really one of our best shows ever. Very sassy this Friday, Gianna. Thank you.
We nailed it.
Thank you very much. A producer was not needed for today's show. No one was assigned to it. Well, Elena, you were there, and you wrote a couple things, and I do appreciate that. But, I mean, you didn't even really need to do that. This one was easy. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back on Monday. Bouton Vixen, as always, you made us sound so good, and I do appreciate that. Fantastic. We'll talk to you on Monday. Remember, sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.